Anna, with all my strength and with all my heart, I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers, and I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu. In the headlines, Electoral Commission begins 2-day biometric voter registration mop-up across the country today. Minister of Lands and Natural Resources says freeze on sale of state lands and estates is to prevent abuse. Police Command says it is on top of situation in Ikumfinakwa in the central region. Ghana's Black Stars play Chipolopolo in their second Group D World Cup qualifier in Zambia today. Malawi to sell presidential jets as part of austerity measure to save economy. And UN Arab League envoy Kofi Annan has warned of the Syrian crisis spilling over if actions are not taken to implement peace plan. The Electoral Commission begins a 2-day biometric voter mop-up exercise throughout designated polling stations in the country today. All regions except the Central and Bono Ahafo will take part in the exercise. The designated polling stations will open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day. The Electoral Commission cautions the public not to use this opportunity to indulge in multiple registration. Radio Ghana's Rebecca Epi has more on the biometric voter mop-up.
The mop-up exercise gives an opportunity to qualified Ghanaian voters who were not able to register in the 40-day exercise to have their names included in the final voters register the Electoral Commission is compiling. This has become necessary due to some technical hitches experienced during the beginning phases of the biometric voters registration that ended May 5, and appeals from various groups to extend the exercise. Only selected polling stations throughout the country will be open for the exercise. The polling stations will open from 8 a.m. and close at 6 p.m. for the 2-day mop-up exercise. Details of which polling stations will be open for registration is available on the Electoral Commission's website. Applicants are required to take along with them identification documents such as driver's license, national ID card, or a passport. Persons without any acceptable forms of identification will require two guarantors who are already registered as voters to guarantee their registration. The Electoral Commission cautions the public not to use the mop-up exercise as an opportunity to indulge in multiple registration. Sylvia Ano is the Commission's Principal Public Relations Officer.
If you have registered, you do not have any business at the census to go and re-register, being that you want to come face-to-face to the law, and would wish that people who have already registered do not go contrary to the law by re-registering, because the arm of the law would get them and deal with them accordingly.
You heard Sylvia Ano, Principal Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Commission, ending that report by Rebecca A.P. The Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Mike Hammer, says the rationale for putting a freeze on the sale of government lands to individuals and private entities is to ensure a proper review of the land policy. This, he noted, is to allow for transparency, equity and accountability. Mr. Hammer said this in an interview with Radio Ghana. He spoke to Yahya Kwamua.
Let me just state that government placed the moratorium way back in February 2011, and it would take as long as it's necessary to do so. What will be a review of the current development policy?
Yeah, you mentioned as far back as 2011.
Yeah.
But why is the issue coming out now?
It was an administrative directive, the policy directive that I gave to the Lands Commission, which are mandated to do so, and they are obliged to comply with the Mid-Mine Policy Directive. And of course, it was with the approval of the President that I gave that policy directive.
Honorable, but it's like currently the housing deficit in Ghana is high. Many people do not have, or many government officials do not have bungalows to stay in. The moratorium has been placed. How would you manage those who are to get accommodation and those who haven't gotten accommodation?
They're reviewing the Accra redevelopment scheme, and FCA has approved the review. Of course, we'll let moratorium implement the redevelopment scheme. But what is important is that we have to ensure that the governance structure that we put in place to implement the scheme. It says that we introduce transparency and equity in the bidding process instead of just evoking political fiat to allocate lands to individuals. And it's also important that once the review is done, it must be consistent with the constitutional provision. And I want to repeat, consistent with the constitutional provision, as Article 25 and 6, government acquires the land compulsory from traditional authorities or stool land, and after government has paid fair, adequate, and firm compensation. The purpose of acquisition cannot be defeated by using the land for some other purpose other than the purpose for which it was acquired.
Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Mike Hammer. The Minister of Roads and Highways, Joe Gidisus, has given the assurance that roads and hinterlands will be constructed or rehabilitated in due course. He gave the assurance on the floor of Parliament when he responded to some questions from the MPs. He said the procurement process has begun for the first 10 kilometres. He told Parliament that roads which are currently gravelled will be upgraded to bituminous surfacing. The MP for Sefiakon Tombra, Henrod Kobna, had earlier on appealed to the Ministry of Roads and Highways to exercise action on the upgrading of the 44-kilometre road from Sefiriosu to Akontombra. He said the poor nature of the road is affecting trade and commerce since the area is a major producer of cocoa and timber.
The Minister of Roads and Highways, Joe Gidisu, considers that as part of the cocoa industry hub, the road needed attention. He said all is being done to raise funds for the remaining segment of the road. He said as an interim measure, routine maintenance would be carried out annually to ensure that the road is always more trouble. The minister also touched on some roads in the Damwe East district of the Greater Accra region. The MP for Sege, Alfred Abayate, was worried the poor state of these roads was affecting the salt industry there. Mr. Gidisu noted that the untarred portions of the road would be seen to in due time. He said government is bent on making roads linking economic generating areas more trouble.
That, Speaker, it depends on the volume or the size of the national debt. And we have to spread out thinly. Concerns have been expressed about roads linking a lot of our economic generating communities. And this is not an exception. We will definitely get there. But for now, we will have to spread out thinly, but I can assure him that as much as the road is regularly maintained, it's a prelude to the tarring. Eventually we will get to the surfacing of the road to bituminous level.
Meanwhile, Parliament has adopted 4 reports of the Finance Committee in relation to the Master Facility Agreement between Ghana and the China Development Bank Corporation, CDBC. They include the charge over accounts deed between government and the China Development Bank Corporation and the subsidiary agreement between Ghana and CDBC in relation to the SME Projects Incubation Facility. The facility covers an amount of $100 million.
That was a report filed by our correspondents in Parliament, Stephen Kweye and Augustus Akweye. The Municipal Chief Executive of Mfantsiman, Henry Kwekuhefon, says calm has returned to Ekumfinakwa following communal clashes over the discovery of a headless body on the farm. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Hefon said what is needed is negotiations between the two feuding factions, and while the police carry on their investigation to arrest the perpetrators of the crime. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
What we have resolved is that we need to get to the bottom of the matter. What we also need to do is to make sure that security is built up at the police whilst we continue talking to them to bring peace to the police. So that is what we do.
Would you say the peaceful atmosphere is due to the presence of the police?
Oh, no. We have talked to them. I mean, the police do their patrols and the rest. You know, in these times, it's difficult times, but what you need to do is to be appealing to them to see reason. In fact, these people have lived together for a very long time, and that is why I have a problem when they are trying to talk about it as some kind of ethnic conflict and that kind of thing. It's a one-off situation that came, and so we're trying to make the police as relaxed as possible for people to be going about their normal duties and the rest.
So apart from talking to them, what actions have you put in place to ensure that the two factions do not return to fighting?
In these times, negotiation and talking to them is the best way. We are also trying as much as possible with the security people, try to gather their intelligence to make sure that we find the culprit. That is key. If you are able to unravel the mystery surrounding how the man died, that will also assuage the pains of the people. And so we are asking them to give us information. If people have pieces of information that could make us get to the bottom of it, that's what we are urging them to do.
Municipal Chief Executive of Mvanseman, Henry Kweku Hayfon. Meanwhile, the Central Regional Commander of Police, DCOP, Ando Kofi, has confirmed calm in Ikonfunakwa in the Central Region. He said even though no arrest has yet been made, investigation is still ongoing. DCOP also spoke to Agatha Asamoah on Behind the News.
The latest development is that the place is very calm. All of them are going about their normal duties without any fear or hindrance. Yesterday when it happened, the regional minister was there to talk to the two sites, the railway settlers and the communities, the Nakwa people. And they all agreed to be law abiding, to leave it to police to investigate. And we are solidly on the ground there doing patrols. But so far there hasn't been any problem at all. And we are carrying on with the investigation.
Has the police arrested anyone and for what?
No, not yet. We are not investigating. We do arrest when investigation points out that this person needs to be arrested.
Central Regional Commander of Police, DCOP, Ando Kofi, talking to Agatha Asamoah. The Director General of Police in charge of administration, Rosebua Tinga, says the police will not hesitate to deal with anyone whose utterances or actions are likely to provoke the breach of the peace. Speaking at a personal parade at the National Police Training School in Accra, Madam Bio Atinga said it is the civic duty of everybody to be active stakeholders in policing to help maintain law and order. Linda Aite has the rest of the story.
Mrs. Bio Atinga noted that Ghana has a track record of conducting successful elections, and Ghanaians must strive to maintain the record or, if not, improve upon it. She said the police service will reward anyone who provides them with relevant information, leading to the exposure of criminals as well as police officers who compromise their positions and indulge in corrupt practices.
We are in an election year, and political activities and campaigns have already started. A lot is expected of the police to maintain law and order, to ensure all these activities are carried out in a serene atmosphere for successful presidential and parliamentary elections. It calls for a lot of sacrifice, hard work, neutrality, and dedication on the part of the police. Note that our actions and inactions can lead to a successful election or otherwise. I therefore urge you to be committed, dedicated, and professional at all times. Remember that you are accountable to the people you serve.
Mrs. Bio Atinga commended the media for their contribution to ensuring peace and development in the country.
Linda Aite's report. The National Youth Organizer of the NPP, Anthony Kabo, says the party has not abandoned the Asin North MP, Kennedy Ejepon, over his incitement statement as he purported. He told Radio Ghana's Agatha Asamoah that though the party was not in support of the statement he made, he was given the moral support while he was in custody of the police.
You look at what happened before Kennedy Ejepon's arrest and the subsequent happenings in the party, you cannot draw any conclusion that the party betrayed Honorable Kennedy Ejepon in any way, and therefore leading to his later statements that, you know, the party is not worth dying for. That is absolutely not very, very true. Kennedy has not abandoned this party. The party has stood with Kennedy from day one. The number of people who massed up at the police PID.
Tony, in his statement, he said that the NPP betrayed him.
Well, but I'm saying that the same MPP that he's saying that betrayed him, and including myself, I was very much in the middle of all of those issues. You know, we mobilized a lot of support for the honorable member, the solidarity, the number of party people. If indeed a party had betrayed his member, I mean, why would the party turn around with the leadership of the party? We're right through in the middle of all those processes, right up to the court and his eventual removal.
There was a national youth organizer of the NPP, Anthony Kabu. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. And the major stories. Electoral Commission begins two-day biometric voter registration mop-up across the country today. Minister of Lands and Natural Resources says freeze on sale of state lands and estates is to prevent abuse. Police command says it is on top of situation in Ikemfina-Kwa in the central region. Ghana's Black Stars play Chipolo Polo in their second Group D World Cup qualifier in Zambia today. Malawi to sell presidential jet as part of austerity measures to save economy. And UN Arab League envoy Kofi Annan has warned of the Syrian crisis spilling over if actions are not taken to implement peace plan. The Volta River Authority, VRA, has announced that it will shut down one of its units for inspection works. This will cause a shortfall in power supply beginning from today from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., and on Monday from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., a statement signed by the head of public relations of the VRA, Mrs. Gertrude Cumson, asked consumers to take note and bear with the authority in case they experience some power outages during the periods. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Hannah Tete, says government will not rely solely on the oil and gas sector. Instead, government will focus critically on the non-traditional export sector. He said the oil sector alone cannot sustain the economy, but when focus is directed to the non-traditional sector, it can take Ghana to the international world and showcase its potential. Madam Tete was speaking at the launch of the 2011 Non-Traditional Export Statistics and National Export Awards in Accra. Rita Nyako has filed this report.
Madam Tete said Ghana as a country needs to think deeply and decisively about the kind of economic development the country wants to achieve. She said this will be possible if we strategize properly. Madam Tete encouraged the Ghana Export Promotion Authority to develop a national logistics strategy that will make the sector more competitive and efficient in the sight of the international community.
I would like to encourage Ghana Export Promotion Authority to think about next is developing a national logistics strategy, because if we are going to be able to make Ghanaian exports more competitive, then what we've got to do is to figure out how we can get them from those business establishments to the port where they are going to exit Ghana as quickly and as efficiently as possible, and how we are going to make sure that the process of those products leaving Ghana and the bureaucracy that they have to go through is reduced to the barest minimum. We can demonstrate that we do have the quality assurance mechanism that will allow people to have confidence in our product.
The chief executive officer of the Ghana Export Promotion Authority, Kojo Owusu-Ajiman, said the exports of non-traditional products amounted to $2.4 billion in 2011. This, he said, represents an increase of 48% in value over the previous year's earning of $1.6 billion. Mr. Owusu-Ajiman noted that the NCE sector grew steadily from 2001 to 2008, but in 2009 the sector was hit by the global economic meltdown, which made earnings fall by -9.38%. He appealed to government to allocate a percentage of the oil revenue to support the development of the NCE sector.
Ritanya co-reporting. Survey equipment that gets faulty can now be revived to work accurately. This is because a U.S. company which manufactures surveying, engineering, construction, mining, oil and gas equipment has opened a branch in Ghana to take care of Western Central Africa. In a message at the opening of the Trimble office in Accra, the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Mike Hammer, said surveying is very important in the development of every nation because it helps in planning land use. Ernest Obunyenim and Ruby Papo have filed this report.
Trimble was founded 34 years ago to manufacture equipment for surveying, mining, construction, engineering and agriculture. Apart from manufacturing, it also services the machines. Opening the office, the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Mike Hammer, said Ghana's status as a middle-income country requires that the youth are trained in the manufacturing sector. He said formerly, surveyors had problems servicing their equipment, but with the opening of the office, this will be solved. The chief executive officer of the company, Steve Begland, said the office will offer the company the opportunity to extend their services to Ghanaians. He said the company is in the country to assist West and Central Africa to grow their economies in the areas of transportation, agriculture, water and land administration, energy and natural resource management. The Omahin of New Jabin Traditional Area, Dasibre Professor Tibuati, who presided over the program, said opening the office in Ghana is a clear manifestation of the confidence the company has in the country's economy.
Ernest Obienim and Ruby Papo filed that report. Football. Ghana's Black Stars are set for their second Group D World Cup qualifier against the Chipolopolo of Zambia today at the new Levi Mwanawasa Stadium in Zambia's third largest city in Dola. Morale in the Stars camp is said to be very high following their resounding victory over Lesotho back home last Saturday at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium. Reigning African champion Zambia comes in today's match quite disappointed but determined, having lost 2-0 in their first game against Sudan. Rosemary Gazi now previews the Ghana-Zambia match.
The mighty 7-0 win over Lesotho at home, specifically in Kumasi last weekend, no doubt puts Ghana's Black Stars in high spirit for today's battle against the Chipolopolo of Zambia. The successful five-day campaign in South Africa ahead of today's match, as stated by team officials, may also serve as a morale booster to the Ghanaian lads, whose team doctor Adam Baba has declared fully fit, not excluding shortstopper Adam Kwarese, who missed last Tuesday's training as a result of a bout of flu. Despite the unthinkable predicament that befell nation and Team Ghana at Baba Yara Stadium in Kumasi last Saturday, the Ghana-Lesotho group opener was indeed a good start for the Stars in the Brazil 2014 World Cup qualifiers. This, however, does not overrule new Black Stars coach Kwesi Appiah's tough assignment with Africa's number one team. Kwesi Appiah says he would have preferred starting off the group phase with a tougher opponent, which did not happen anyway, but hopes there will be a closely fought Africa Group D encounter. The immediate past assistant coach of Team Ghana, now head coach of the same side, was chosen above higher profile candidates and is by far expected to really prove his worth in the 2014 World Cup qualifying series. With an impressive start, there seem great opportunities ahead, but not without great responsibilities, coming to face newly crowned African champions on their home grounds just after their 2-0 defeat in Sudan last Saturday alone stands to reason that it will not be easy. Nonetheless, Ghanaian football enthusiasts look forward to seeing Zambia fall as pledged by Team Ghana, who tops Africa Group D table, followed by Sudan, Zambia and Lesotho. For Radio Ghana, this is Rosemary Gazi in Accra.
Meanwhile, Radio Ghana's 1 o'clock news bulletin will be aired at 12 noon to make way for the sports commentary at 1 o'clock. Drivers who operate from Takwa to Bogoso and other communities within the Prestia-Huni Valley district in the Western Region are on strike due to the poor road network. According to them, they are tired of spending huge sums of money in maintaining their vehicles during every trip they embark on. One of the concerned drivers, Kekweji, said they have spent so much money on spare parts and risked the safety of both passengers and drivers on the dilapidated road for a number of years now. Mr. G claimed that although the Takwa to Anyamfri road has been awarded on contract by the government for more than a year now, the contractor is not on site. He said until government comes in to assure them that the contractor will speed up work on that stretch of the road, they'll continue to abandon passengers. Chairman of the Bogoso Ghana Private Road Transport Union branch in Bogoso, Francis Akwaboa, confirmed the strike to the GNA in an interview. He said, due to the bad nature of the road, the drivers have arbitrarily taken upon themselves to increase transportation fares The chairman said to ensure that the rights of passengers are not infringed upon, any driver who goes against the law to charge unapproved fares are sanctioned. He said the drivers were not pleased with this action and decided to go on strike. Mr. Akwaboah said the condition of the road is compounded during the rainy season and therefore called on government and appropriate authorities to ensure that the right steps are taken to solve the problem. This year's World Oceans Day has been marked with a call on the fishing community and general public to desist from polluting the ocean. According to research, about 10% of protein humans eat is derived from the ocean. Unfortunately, the continuous dumping of waste into the sea has led to the extinction of several species. Maurice Ogbete reports.
Oceans cover about 70% of the Earth's surface. It has in it valuable minerals and natural resources, as well as food that support human existence. Scientists over the years have warned of the fast pollution and depletion of the ocean through human activity. This year's World Oceans Day coincided with the renaming of the Department of Oceanography of the University of Ghana to the Department of Marine and Fisheries Sciences. It also saw the commencement of a new postgraduate program in marine and offshore technology. Under the program, students will benefit from the tutelage of lecturers from the Newcastle University in UK. The Pro Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana, Professor Kwame Ofeh, disclosed that the university is to set up new colleges and institutes that administer programs to meet contemporary demands.
That was Maurice Ogbete's report. The Turkish and Czech Republic ambassadors called on the Minister of Information, Fritz Balfour, to strengthen bilateral relations between Ghana and their countries. The Turkish ambassador, Aydin Nuhan, announced that a delegation from his country will be arriving in Ghana from the 15th of this month to discuss exchange programs between Ghana and Turkish universities. Mr. Nuhan said he will ensure that students tap experiences from each other to enhance socio-economic development.
As an ambassador of Turkey, one of my main objectives is to send Turkish students of PhD and masters and also licensed students to Africa. You know that everybody is trying to get African students to their countries. We also have this. But my intention is to learn about Africa. We should be the students of Africa. So for that reason, we are trying to cooperate with Legon University. Soon there will be a delegation from Turkey.
The Czech ambassador Miloslav Makalek also announced plans to assist the energy sector.
This is why I'm here also, to give you more information about activities which Czech Republic is doing or planning to do, because as a member of European Union, of course, Czech Republic is more focused European Union, and as a traditionally, for example, as a Ghana is focused on the neighbors across country, so Czech Republic is also oriented for Balkan states and for neighbors. Because for me as a person, and I know very well what is the situation when you are without electricity or energy, for me the first priority is electricity and generally energy overall, and second priority is drinking water for everybody, and the third one is infrastructure, because if you don't have electricity, there is no life, there is no life.
The Minister of Information, Fritz Balfour, was optimistic that the exchange program between Ghana and Turkey will yield the desired results for both countries.
I'm very happy that you're trying very hard to strengthen the already very good relationship between Ghana and Turkey. We have evidence of Ghanaians or West Africans being taken across the Sahara Desert to work under the Mamelukes. So there's a strong evidence of an African presence in Istanbul. So really, Turkey is not a new country to us, especially during the 18th and late 19th century. So therefore, really, you've got grounding for the social interaction. And so when your students come, we hope that they research into it to re-establish the links may have been there before that are lost.
Minister of Information, Fritz Balfour. Malawian President Joyce Banda says her cash-strapped government will sell the presidential jet controversially bought by her predecessor. Mrs. Banda said the decision to sell the $13.3 million aircraft was in line with her vision for economic recovery and also to demonstrate to Malawians her preparedness to make sacrifices as everybody grapples with the effects of the devaluation of the national currency, the kwacha. The U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has met with U.N. Arab League envoy Kofi Annan in Washington to discuss the situation in Syria. The special envoy, who authored the six-point peace plan aimed at ending the 50-month-long violence in Syria, said the discussion is to explore how to put additional pressure on the government and parties to implement the plan. Yesterday, Mr. Annan told the UN General Assembly that his peace plan is not being implemented and the situation in Syria is deteriorating. To end the news, the main points again. The Electoral Commission begins a two-day biometric voter registration mop-up across the country today. Ghana's Black Stars will play the Chipolopolo of Zambia in their second Group D World Cup qualifier in Indola today. And Malawian President Joyce Banda has decided to sell the country's presidential jet in line with austerity measures to save the economy. And that ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.